We're doing Parshat Tetzaveh. We're short on time. We did the Megillah, so we'll try to do as much as we can in the time we have. The parasha begins with the commandment of lighting pure olive oil on the menorah. And we're told exactly where the menorah is to be lit. There's a machlokas Rambam Rashi whether the menorah was lit every night and in the morning they prepared the lamps, or in the morning when they did Hattavat HaNerot, when they prepared the lamps, they would light it as well. After the parasha tells us about the lighting of the menorah, which according to one understanding was every evening, and according to the Rambam, it was every evening and every morning as well, Moshe is told, bring forward Aaron, his children, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, and Isamar, and they will be Kohanim before me, and they will have special garments. The garments that they have will be lechavod uletifaret. They will reflect how respectable they are, that they merit to be servants of Hashem, and they will also reflect the honor of me, that I am the one that is in the temple. They reflect both. They are an honor to the person wearing them, they are an honor to God. And he instructs some very, very wise people as to how to build them. How do they make the garments? So we have the choshen. That's a breastplate. It was made of material. And on that material, you had stones. On each stone was engraved a different tribe of the Jewish people. The breastplate had within it God's hidden name. It was a garment, it was a piece of cloth that was folded over, and inside the pocket was the Shema Meforash. In the second temple, we had the breastplate, but we didn't have the hidden name of God. So long as the hidden name of God was inside, the breastplate, the Choshen, was also called the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim is a reference to the fact that the breastplate would light up. If a person, either the king or someone else, who was in public service, needed to ask the Kohen Gadol a question, to ask God a question, so the Kohen Gadol would stand before the Holy of Holies. He'd stand in the Holy, opposite the Holy of Holies. And he'd stand facing the Aron. And the man asking the question would stand behind him. And he'd face the Kohen. They'd both be facing in the same direction. He'd face the back of the Kohen. The Kohen would face forward. He'd ask the question. And the Kohen would pose the question before God. And then he'd look down on the breastplate and see which letters lit up. Now the problem is, and then the Kohen had to have Ruach HaKodesh to figure out what those letters meant. How you put them together into words. What was God answering? And technically, unless it was an emergency, you could only ask one question at a time. And you had to know how to formulate the question. King David erred in formulating a question. The Jewish people, when they... the Jewish people, when they went to war against Pilegesh Begiva, against the tribe of Benjamin, when we had civil war, they erred in how they formulated the question. So God answered what they asked. I mean, you get what you ask. So one of the garments the Kohen Gadol wore, the high priest alone, was the Choshen. Sometimes there were situations where there were two Kohanim Gadolim. We don't have time to discuss that tonight. Technically, there was only one Kohen Gadol. Sometimes the Kohen Gadol had to go out of service for a period, and then we'd put up a different Kohen Gadol in his place. And then the question is, how do you demote one? What do you do? So then you could have situations when you'd have two Kohanim Gadolim technically. Yeah. Good question. A different time. The ephod, they had also an ephod, which was some kind of apron. Umeil, which was like a long pancho. It was some kind of long coat that was made all of blue wool. Wool that was dyed with the chilazon blood. And ktonet tashbetz, a garment that had checkers, like squares on it. Mitznefet, a hat. It is unclear whether the hat of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hediot was the same or not. It's given different names, but technically they were both turbans. They were white wool that was wrapped around. The avnit. And the clothing were for Aaron, and the clothing are what give him the power of a Kohen Gadol. Meaning, as a Kohen Gadol, there are a few things that give him that status. He would get anointed with the oil. He would wear the eight garments. And he would also do service that only Kohen Gadol could do. So the Kohen Gadol, part of making him Kohen Gadol was merube begadim, that he had eight garments instead of four. Now, during the period of the Second Temple, we had the eight garments. We didn't have the holy oil. So then a Kohen Gadol in the time of the Second Temple was not mashuach. He was not anointed with the oil. He was only merube begadim with more garments. And this has halachic implications, meaning in order to get Kohen Gadol status, you had to have being anointed with the oil, and when a person was anointed with the oil, that anointment left an impact for life. When Aaron HaKohen was anointed, Aaron was clean shaven. So Aaron was anointed with the oil, and the oil dripped down to the bottom of his chin, and two droplets stayed there, and those two droplets left an imprint of two droplets for the rest of his life. When a person was anointed with the holy oil of the Shemna Mishcha, they looked different for life. It was something which stayed. There was something special about the oil. And the Shemna Mishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made lasted forever. We don't know where it is, but it's still around. God made a special miracle. Whatever Moshe made and whatever David made lasted for eternity. That's why David couldn't build the temple. God said, I will have to destroy the temple. You can't be the one to build it. Whatever you build will remain. And according to some, David built the Western Wall, and that's why the Western Wall remained. Because what he built, God says there are two people who represent eternity. David and Moshe. So Moshe, with all of Moshe's vessels, were hidden. They didn't remain to the destruction of the temple. The stuff were hidden, and they remain. We don't know where. We don't know if it's in the Vatican or buried under the temple. Technically, it's probably buried somewhere under the temple. He also had on his shoulder. He had the Avnei Miluim, and he had hanging. The Choshen was hanging from the two shoulder stones, and on the shoulder stones, he also had the six tribes. Now, those were called the Avnei Shoham. Six on one, six on the other. How do you engrave if you're not allowed to use metal? So they had a special worm called the Shamir worm. Whatever you used to place the Shamir worm on, it had some kind of acid or something in its stomach or in its mouth, that it would crack. So they used to be able to fashion it to put it down in the places where they needed it to crack, and it would crack things. The question is, how do you store such a worm, right? Whatever you put it on, it cracks, right? So the Gemara discusses, if you put it on something soft, then it wouldn't crack it. That was the way they stored it. Unless you suspend it in the air. You have to hang it. There's a whole Gemara that discusses how, when they wanted to build the temple, Shlomo HaMelech needed to get this Shamir worm. He didn't know how to get it. So he sent his top officers to capture Ashmedai, the head of the demons, to tell him how you get this worm. And they tricked Ashmedai, and they figured out how to capture him, and then Ashmedai let them know that there was this special bird that God entrusted her with watching this worm, and then they wanted to catch the bird. How did they catch the bird? They went to its nest. The bird flew away. In the nest, they saw little eggs or little birds. So what Yoav did was he placed a glass over the nest, and then when the bird came back and saw the glass over the nest, it said, okay, how do I get to my birds? It took out the Shamir worm that it was entrusted with keeping, and they put it down on the glass, and then they grabbed the Shamir worm. When the bird saw that it was not faithful to its job of protecting the Shamir worm, it committed suicide on the spot. And that's how they got the Shamir worm. Then they had a question, how do you store the Shamir worm? Okay, so that isn't our discussion now, but we mention it. So you have the Shamir worm, the special worm which is used. I don't know. Which was used, it seems like there was more than one, but I don't have a clear proof that there was more than one. So they used the Shamir worm to, at least for these engravings of the letters on the stones, possibly also for making all the stones of the temple, machlokas, whether it was used for all the stones, because all the stones couldn't be carved with metal, or for that there was a different solution. I think in Tosis it's Tushitot, Tosfot and Sotah, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. I think Tosus brings two opinions. I think so. Okay, now the Choshen was hanging by two gold chains, and there's a discussion exactly how the Shvatim were written. Were the stones 3x4 or 4x3? How did you have 12? And it was hanging by the ephod, by the stones that were on the top, by the Avnei Milum. They were in an encasing. And that encasing had also loops, and the chain went down from the loops on the shoulders to the loops of the Choshen. And Aaron carries the Jewish people on his heart. Think about the concept that he's carrying on his heart, the Jewish people. The Choshen represents justice. The Chazal say the reason he could carry them on his heart was because his heart didn't have jealousy. When he was told his brother would be king, would lead the Jewish people, Aaron was happy. V'samach b'libo. Hashem says a heart that could be happy when his brother takes over his position, because Aaron had been the leader till Moshe came to the scene. When you have such a good heart, that heart could lead the Jewish people. When they had the oil that was pure, so the Kohen Gadol had a special ring which he would seal the oil to indicate that that oil was pure. Every Kohen Gadol, in preparation for becoming Kohen Gadol and wearing the special clothes, would take 7 days, like the 7 days of Miluim, 7 days where he was separate from his family, and then he was appointed. And during those 7 days, he would learn his service. What? I think Parshat Shmini, Bayom HaShmini, Miluim, I think so it says. The garments were always tailored to fit the Kohen Gadol, not too long nor too short. The Choshen had, together with Reuven, it said Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and together with Binyamin, in the end it said Shivtei Yeshurun, because there are two letters that are missing from the letters of the Jewish people's names, and that is the Tzadi and the Tes. There's also the Kuf, right? And the Ches, right? So it said Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shivtei Yeshurun. Those were the words that were added there. That way you had the whole Aleph Beis on the Choshen. You guys remember the Medrash we discussed? Yaakov Aminu said the word Chet doesn't appear in my children's name, Chet and Tet. And God answered him, neither does the word Ketz. Yaakov wanted to reveal the Ketz. Hashem told, he said, the word letters Chet, Tet don't appear in my children's names. There's no Chet among them. God said, you're right, but the letters Ketz don't appear in their name either. I'm not letting you tell them the Ketz. Now, at the edge of the Me'il, that coat, the long blue coat that the Kohen wore, there were 72 pa'amonim, 72 like pomegranates made of wool. And inside, they had gold bells. And whenever the Kohen Gadol would go, everyone would hear him. He had 36 lining the bottom of the cloak in the front and 36 in the back. And here there's a machlokas from Ban Rashi. Was it that you had, the way we described, the pomegranates made of material, and inside the pomegranates you had the bells? Or did you have hanging at the bottom, you had gold bells, and next to them pomegranates, like pomegranates made of material? The Kohen Gadol, we're just out of time, so we'll do questions later, okay? The Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead, he wore tefillin, and under the tefillin he had the tzitz. The tzitz was a special piece of gold that said on it, Kodesh Lashem, and it said Hashem's name in full print. Kodesh Lashem. Now, it was written one line on top of the other, and from here we derive the halachic concept that in Torah, if you write one word on top of the other, it's considered like written on the same line. That's how you could like indent things in a sentence in the Torah. The Kohen Gadol wore a turban that was 32 feet long. That's his tall hat. It was 16 amos, 32 feet long was the turban that he wore on his head. He wore the avnet, which was the sash that he wore on his stomach. That was 64 feet long, 32 amos, quite a long sash around his stomach, 64 feet, think about that, wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped. That was the avnet. And he wrapped that around him. It was wide, it was 3 fingers wide. That was the width of the avnet that was wrapped around his stomach, that sash that was around his stomach. Every garment that the Kohen wore corresponded to a certain atonement that the Jewish people needed and attained a certain atonement for the Jewish people. The ktonet, the shirt, was for people who spilled blood, for murderers. If they wanted to repent, the fact that the Kohen Gadol was wearing that shirt assisted, God said, that reflects the atonement for that. The pants, for people who sinned in illicit relationships. They went with a woman during her period. They went with a woman when she was married. They went with a woman who was prohibited to them because she was their aunt. All gilui arayos, all forbidden relationships. The hat, that attained forgiveness for haughtiness. The sash that separates from the heart and the private parts for improper thoughts. And the choshen for justice, where there was a miscarriage of justice. The ephod for avodah zarah. And the me'il, the long cloak, for pride. And, okay, and some say for the defilement, tumat akodashim. We're out of time for today.